Morning, people. Today's daf is Yud Aleph in Erechin. We're back on Yud. We're in the Mishnah on Yud Amud Aleph, and we begin in Po Chasin. Me'asim ve'achas tekiyos be'mikdash v'lo mosifan al arba v'shmona. The range of blowing shofar is 21 to 48. Blowing shofar would be done on Erev Shabbos. Various reasons why shofar would be blown. And sometimes you'd have as few as 21 times that the shofar would be blown. Sometimes as many as 48. And I'm sorry, the shofar was blown all the time. But on an Erev Shabbos, and if it coordinated with a whole series of events, so it would come up to a total of 48. Just to give you a sense of what we're blowing shofar for. Opening of the gate would be three blasts. The Tamishal Shachar would be another three. The Tamishal Bein Arabayim would be another three. Okay, so that already takes us to 21. Nisach HaMayim, which was only done on Sukkos, that would be another 12. Musaf would be another 9. An Erev Shabbos coordinated with this event. So in other words, you're talking about Sukkos now, could be Yontif, could be Chol HaMoed, it could go either way. Hefsek Malacha, another 3, and separation between Kodesh and Chol, so that would be another 3, being Chol HaKodesh, so that would be now a total of 27 in addition to the 21, and that got you to the number 48. Okay, so in other words, in the Beis HaMikdash, you could have as many as 48 shofar blasts. A regular day, you'd have 21, meaning on a regular day, 3 for the Tamishal Shachar, 3 for the Tamishal Bein Arbayim, and for the opening up of the gate, another 3. So that would be a 9 times 3. So that would be a typical day. That would be 21. Okay. V'lo Masifan al Abashman. Ein pochas mishnei nevalim v'lo Masifan al Shisha. How many nevalim? First of all, what's a naval? So I'll say it's a harp. May or may not be right. Who knows? But no less than 2, no more than 6, Rashi says. I don't have anything for you. Meaning, that's not me. That's Rashi. Rashi says, I don't have anything for you. I don't know the significance of the numbers 2 and 6. Ein po chasim mishnei chalilim v'lo mosifin al shnei masar. No less than 2 chalals, flutes, and no more than 12. Okay? Why no more than 12? So Rashi says, that connects to the next line of the Mishnah. Uvishnei masar yom b'shana achalo maklof ne'am izbech. 12 days out of the year, they would blow flute in the Beis HaMikdash, b'shchitas Pesach Rishon, u'v'shchitas Pesach Sheni, on the first day of Pesach, on the second time that they offered Karban Pesach, otherwise known as Pesach Sheni, Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, not to be confused with the day of the Shechter Karban Pesach. Day of the Shechter Karban Pesach was Yudal Nisan. Day they offered Karban Pesach with Tezvav Nisan. U'v'yom Tov Shel Atzeres, and on Shavuos, Uvishmoni Yam Imeachag, and during the 8 days of Chag. Velo Hayamako, Be'avav Shel Nechoshes, Ela Be'avav Shel Kana. The flutes were not made out of copper, the flutes were made out of reed. Mimnei Shekolo Arev, says the Mishnah, it's a sweeter sound that's produced. Velo Hayamachalek, Ela Be'avav Yechidi. When they would finish, when they would punctuate the orchestra. Okay, if you know and like music, I'm sure you would love this Mishnah. I don't know. I like music, but I don't know music, meaning I don't understand music. But when they would end, so they would end only with one flute, Mimnei Shuhu Machlik Yafe. That is a good way to punctuate. Avdei Kohanim Hayu, Avdei Kohanim Hayu, Divrei Meir. Who is playing the instruments? Okay, we are discussing in our Mishnah the playing of a flute, the playing of a kinor, let's call it a harp, who knows. But who's playing these flutes? So the Mishnah is going to have 3 opinions. Number one, opinion number one, Avdei Kohanim Hayu, Divrei Meir. Okay, so they were servants of Kohanim. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Mishpachas Beis Pegarim, or Beis Tzipra, Mei Amme'um Hayu, Misim LeKohuna. So according to the second opinion, they're from a very special family. Not Kohanim, but just, families that are Miuchasim. Good lineage. And finally, Rabbi Chanina Ben Atignos Amar, Levim Hayu. And the 3rd opinion of the Mishnah is that they are Levium. They are, in fact...
We think that is the right opinion, because everybody says the
Levium
are the ones...
Well, we'll get to. Meaning, stay tuned. We're going to discuss what that machlokus is in the Mishnah. First and foremost, Masis and Deloka Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. Detanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now, number of shofar blasts every day. Okay, what's the correct answer? The correct answer is it ranged from 21 to 48. That is what our Mishnah says. Rav Yehuda Omer Pochis Lo Yifchos Misheva VeAmosif Lo Yosef Al Sheish Esrei. The range according to Rav Yehuda is 7 to 16. 7 to 16. Now, you think about those numbers for just a moment. Wait a second. Our Mishnah says 21 to 48, and Rav Yehuda says 7 to 16. Sounds familiar, right? Yeah. Right. All you have to do is just multiply the number 7 to 16 by 3, and you get to 21 to 48. So the Gemara immediately reacts, and the Gemara says, what? That's the same. So the Gemara says, so what's the machlokas over here? It's an accounting issue. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Tekiah Chua Tekiah Chadi, he? So Rabbi Yehuda says, how do you count Tekiah Chua Tekiah? You count that not as threes, you count that as one, meaning that's one unit. And Rabbanan Savar Tekiah Lechud of Chua Lechud, and the Chachamim say, no, Tekiah is one, Chua is one, Tekiah is one, that's called three, right? One plus one plus one, so that's three, it's an accounting issue. Right? For example, on Rosh Hashanah, how many times are we supposed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So the correct answer is, well, how many times do we? We blow 100 times, right? And by the way, the Rishonim didn't blow 100 times. I don't know when that minhag developed that we blew 100 times, but the Rishonim, Rabbein Atam, blew 42 times. But anyway, the mitzvah to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, 9 times. That's it. 9 times to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. 9 turns into 30 because we don't know how to blow those middle blasts. We don't know whether it's Trua. We don't know whether it's Tekiah. We don't know maybe a combination of Tekiah and Trua. So therefore, we blow 30 times, meaning we do 9, and we do it 3 different ways. So it should get to 27, I understand, but Tekiah Trua is counted as 2 and not as 1. So we call it now 30 blasts. And then on top of that, there's more. But just for the time being, just to keep everything so simple, 9 times is the number of times that we are supposed to blow shofar from Rosh Hashanah. How do we count that 9? Tekiah is 1, Trua is 2, Tekiah is 1 again, or 3, and then we do that 3 times over. 9. So when we count on Rosh Hashanah a number of times, we count each one of them as separate. That's the Mishnah. That's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you count Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah, 1, 2, 3. Rav Yehuda says, no, you count it as 1. Tekiah lechud, Trua lechud, Tekiah lechud. My time is Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, why does Rav Yehuda count those three as one unit? Deksiv, but the pasuk says, utkatim trua ksiv. You'll blow a trua, but it says utkatim. Tkatim is rooted in the word tekiah. Uksiv, trua yitku'u. You blow the trua. But shmamina tekiah trua tekiah chanihi. You see that the Torah puts tekiah in front of trua. You see that the Torah puts tekiah after trua. It's all one unit. No, the Chachamim say no. What the Torah is telling you is that when you blow Trua, there should be a Tekiah before, there should be a Tekiah afterwards. But you don't count them as one, you actually count it as three. In fact, the Chachamim say, let me make my case for you. It's very simple. You see that sometimes you blow Tekiah without Trua. Done. Right? Isn't that now the end of the discussion? You see that Tekiah can come by itself. So, of course, if now you're going to add Trua, you count that as a separate blowing. And now what? According to you, Rav Yehuda, Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah, that's all one unit. And now when you assemble everybody, you blow Tekiah, the Torah is telling you, you know what? Do a half a mitzvah. What? Do a half a mitzvah? Rav Yehuda, now the Gemara defends Rav Yehuda, Simana Ba'amahu. No, when you assemble everyone, right, they blow the shofar to assemble, they just blew Tekiah. That's not a mitzvah, meaning it's just simply it was a siren. It's just a way of getting everyone together. But that blowing of the shofar is not a mitzvah. Not like when you offer a karban, blowing shofar there is a mitzvah. Not like when Rosh Hashanah, blowing shofar is a mitzvah. Here, just getting everyone together, blow shofar. Not because it's a mitzvah, just simply because it's just a way of getting everyone together. Okay. Kamana azla ahad amar Rav Kahana ein bein tekiah lechua velo klum. Now, Rav Kahana says that when you blow tekiah chua, there could be no pause, no break in between them whatsoever. Now, who's he following? Meaning, because up until this point in time, essentially what we seem to be having is an accounting debate. Meaning, tekiah chua tekiah, do we count that as three, do we count that as one? That's been, so far, the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Gemara now is going to suggest that maybe that's a practical application as well. Meaning there's an opinion of Rav Kahana that says that when you blow tkia and then trua, there could be no pause. So it should be tkia and then immediately into the trua. Keman ka Rav Yehuda, so the Gemara says, well, okay, I'll tell you who he's going like. He's going like Rav Yehuda. And it makes perfect sense. Rav Yehuda believes that the tkia trua tkia is really one blast. So since it's one blast, so it should be blown tkia into the trua and then into the tkia. So the Gemara says, Pshita ma'u detema afilu ka Rabbanan Asya. The Gemara says, well, you could have made the following argument. It's not so obvious, because you could have simply said, Lafukim and Rav Yochanan. Look, there's the opinion of Rav Yochanan, we've seen it a couple of times in Shas, it comes up again on Rosh Hashanah, at the end of Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Da'ama Shama Teisha Tkiyos B'Teisha Shos B'Yom Yatsa Kamash Malan. So Rav Yochanan is quoted as saying that if I blow nine times, remember I told you, Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah is to blow nine times. Again, 9 turns into 30, and somehow we turn 30 into 100, but really the mitzvah is to blow 9 times. Let's say I do it over the course of the day, 9 hours. Okay? Meaning hour number 1, we'll blow 1. Hour number 2, we'll blow a second one. I know, davening already is very long on Rosh Hashanah. You add a 9-hour shofar, but it's not 9 hours of blowing. It's just each hour we're going to blow another one of the blasts. So Rav Yochanan says, that's fine. You're Yotze. It doesn't sound like it's the best thing to do, but in other words, but it works. So the only thing that Rav Kahana was saying, not that they have to be immediately juxtaposed one to the other, just simply not like Rav Yochanan. Meaning Rav Yochanan is way off in terms of that kind of lapse. So the Gemara says, and Rav Kahana is not saying, Rav Kahana is saying more than just, I'm not buying into Rav Yochanan, because Rav Kahana says velo klum. Velo klum means that there literally can be no gap, no pause between a tkia and a trua. So Rav Kahana is just not just rejecting Rav Yochanan. He's doing much more than rejecting Rav Yochanan. He's saying there literally cannot be a gap or a pause between them, i.e. Rav Kahana is holding like Rav Yehuda. Tkiah, chua, tkiah is one. On this issue, by the way, who do we pass like? We pass like the Chachamim. Meaning tkiah is one blast, chua with a broken sound in the middle is another blast, and then the tkiah that follows up, that's considered a third blast. And we do, by the way, like Rav Yochanan, it can be like over the course of 9 hours, but, you know, obviously no talking in the middle, so forth and so on. Huh? You don't have to take a breath in between, but we view them as separate.
It sounds like the tekiahs on either side of the trua are like brackets. So the important one is really the trua.
Right. So
you say yom trua mikra kodesh.
Correct. I don't know in terms of how to weigh them in importance. I'm not sure, because they're all required. Meaning you need tekiah before the trua, you need tekiah after. So to say. You could say it all revolves around the trua. That's fine, but in terms of importance, they're all going to be necessary. Okay. Tosfos over here, by the way, what's up for discussion? Meaning the halacha is very clear. Tkiah and trua are two separate blasts. You could pause. You could breathe between tkiah and trua. You know that sound that we make in the middle, the shvarim trua, right? Are you supposed to pause when you make the shvarim trua, meaning when you go from shvarim into the trua? Should it be like, should there be a pause or should there be no pause? And that's subject to a debate. See Tosfos over here. Tosfos talks about that issue. We're going to go on in the Gemara. Shneimasayam bishana maka bechalo. Okay, a little discussion about the flute playing, maishna hani, but really a bigger discussion. What's so significant about these days? Hol v'yachid gomer behem es ha-halo. Because individuals finish halal on these days. There are 18 days in the year where we say halal, not just say halal, but we finish halal. And those 18 are, ready? Shmoni Me'achag, 8 days of Sukkos. Shmoni Me'chanukah, 8 days of Chanukah. Okay, we're already at 16. Okay, the Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, the Yom Tov Shal Atzeres. First day of Pesach, first day of Atzeres. Now, I say first day of Atzeres, that's such a gullah statement to make, right? There's only one day of Shavuos. So, it's not So that's it. Those are your days in which you finish challah. Okay, and that's now a total of 18. Uvigola. Just one second. I'll get to everything. Well, not to everything, but I'll get to a number of points. Uvigola. Now, in the exile. So that's us now. Esrimba echad. So 18 turns into 21. How does 18 turn into 21? Tisha yimei achag. Because now we have 9 days of sukkahs. Because, right, that last day of sukkah, which is the 8th day, which is we call Shmini Atzeres. So then we have, of course, Simchas Torah afterwards. Right, find Simchas Torah in the Torah. So the it's the second day of Shmini Atzeres, but then we infused it with Simchas Torah. Okay. Shmonos Yimei Chanukah. 8 days of Chanukah doesn't change. Chanukah is still 8 days. There's no Sfeika de Yuma by Chanukah. Ushne Yamim Tovim Shal Pesach. And then, of course, there is the first 2 days of Pesach because Sfeika de Yuma. We're not sure which day is the real day. So, therefore, we treat day 15 and day 16 as the first day of Pesach. Ushne Yamim Tovim Shal Atzeres. And the first 2 days of Shavuos. Okay. Right? Ready for a little halal talk? We do in America also.
Well, there's
no, I understand. The minhag is to debate about that, but we do it. Okay, just wait. Before we go so contemporary to those days, let's do some more classic discussion, which is Rosh Chodesh, right? That's somewhat more of a classic discussion. Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara didn't bring that up. Ah, okay, fine. So the Gemara's language is very precise. The Gemara says Gomer Bamisa Hala, we conclude Hala, which means that it's those days where we say Hala and we finish Hala. So in other words, what happened to Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh, we don't finish Hala, meaning we skip parts of Hala. Okay, but that's not an explanation. That just tells us what we do. Why don't we finish Halal on Rosh Chodesh? Or I guess you can formulate the question a little bit differently. How come it's not mentioned? Meaning, we have over here a list, a complete list, a comprehensive list of the number of times during the course of the year which we say Halal. So we have the 18 days when you live in Eretz Yisrael, 21 days when you live in Chutz Lartz, and Rosh Chodesh obviously is missing. And on top of that, if you remember your Pesach, well, so you'll know, on the first day of Pesach, here in Chutz Aretz, on the first 2 days of Pesach, we say a full halal. And then what do we do after that? We say chatzi halal. We say what we call half halal. Half halal just simply means that we take out two paragraphs. And we say that on the remaining days of Pesach. How come that's not mentioned? So if you take a look at Tosfos, Ba'am Tosfos on the Amud, Perish of Vishar Yamim Ein Omer Moso Klal, Delek Lefrush of Vishar Yamim Ein Gomer Moso. In other words, Tosfos says, you know what our Gemara means? That there is no mitzvah to say halal on Rosh Chodesh. There is no obligation, says Tosfos, to say halal, neither on Rosh Chodesh nor on the remaining days of Pesach. Okay, good. And in fact, Tosfos goes to the Gemara in Tanis. Famous Gemara over there. Rav Iklo LeBavel. Rav went to Bavel. Right? Rav is primarily a resident of Israel. Rav, who is a student of Rabbi Chia and studied under Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So he was primarily in Israel and then he went out to Bavel. And in Bavel, they did the strangest thing. They said halal on Rosh Chodesh. Can you imagine? And the chazinu dekaru halal. I'm still reading in Tosfos. Chazinu dekaru halilu b'Rosh Chodesh. And he's looking around over here and he's saying, "What's going on? It's Rosh Chodesh. It's not a holiday. It's not Yantiv. It's Rosh Chodesh, and everyone's saying halal. Kasavra la'af sikinu." And he's thinking, "You know what? It's going to be very awkward, but I got to stop them." They're saying halal on Rosh Chodesh. Cave and Deshama Dekimadagle. This is all Tosfos according to the Gemara and Tanis. But then he understands that they're skipping paragraphs of halal, but like what we do. Amar Minag of Asam Biyadehem. So then Rav says, "Oh, it's a Minag. I understand. meaning that's not really hollow. Had it been really hollow, they would have said every paragraph of hollow. That's not really hollow. It's just a minug. Mashma shirava yasavar shalohayo omim oso klal. Meaning, what was Rav's preconception before going to Bavel? We don't say it. We don't say hollow. Rosh Chodesh is not a time when you say hollow. It's not one of the 18 days. So we don't say it. So obviously, this idea that we say hollow on Rosh Chodesh, now we skip paragraphs, but it's but really, be'ikaron, essentially, it's not to be said. Okay? Oh, that's an excellent question. Next part of Tosfos. It's like we set ourselves up. So when we say halal on Rosh Chodesh, it's not an obligation, it's just a minug. So, takes us now to the next part of Tosfos, another classic discussion. Such a classic discussion. Do we make a bracha when we say halal on Rosh Chodesh? And the answer is, machlokas. And so we start the discussion with Rabbeinu Tam. Now, Rabbeinu Tam has such an interesting proof that you should make a bracha. Now, before we get to Rabbeinu Tam's proof, you understand it's extraordinarily controversial. Meaning, we're making a bracha on something that's not an obligation. Meaning, the fact that we make brachas on mitzvahs derabanan, that shouldn't make anyone flinch. We do that all the time. We wash our hands before we eat bread, okay? And we make a bracha. That's a mitzvah derabanan. That's not a Torah mitzvah, and yet we'll make a bracha. When we light Chanukah lecht, we'll make a bracha. And again, nobody flinches because that's what we all do, and we understand. But in those two circumstances, that's a chova, that's an obligation. Albeit it's midrabanan, but still, it's an obligation. And the chachamim are mandated by the Torah that they can make such obligations. We make an eruv. I know it doesn't come up that frequently. But when we make an eruv, we make a bracha. But that's an obligation. Saying halah on Rosh Chodesh is not a chova. It's a minhag. It's a custom. One that's adopted almost universally amongst all of Klal Yisrael. Although, as Tosfos points out, when Rav was living in Israel, they didn't say halah. So, and even in the time of the Gemara, it wasn't universal, but it's a minhag. So how are you saying a bracha on a minhag? And let me strengthen the question by pointing out that in the bracha we say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos avitzivanu. So if it was an obligation, either daraisa derabanan, so you understand. But if it's a minhag, how are you making a bracha? So that's a fundamental issue. Tosfos over here doesn't deal with that part. Tosfos just gives a proof. But what seems to be a very good proof, that you should make a bracha. What's his proof? Because let's go back to that story with Rav, going to shul for the first time in Bavel. So what's his reaction? Think about it. His reaction is, oh my gosh, what are they doing? Like, I should stop the chazan right now. But he's a little bit patient, and he waits, and he sees that they skip paragraphs. So he says, you know what? I'm going to leave it alone. Now I understand it's just a minhag. But Rabbeinu Tam says, but think about it for just a moment. Rav was there from the beginning of Halo.
Right.
Did they or did they not make the bracha?
They had to have made the bracha.
Otherwise, how could Rav have been confused from the very beginning? This is Rabbeinu Tam's proof. It doesn't touch to the fundamental issue over here, but it's his proof that they had to have made a bracha. Now you could say, right? You could say that he got to shul late. You could say that. Now we don't know. We don't know. No, but had they said no, because had they said halal without the bracha, Rav immediately would have realized because on the days that you say halal, quote unquote, the full halal, the real halal, the obligated halal, you make a bracha.
Maybe in Israel they were not saying halal for Rosh Chodesh. So he got there and he decided they were saying halal, so he was saying, what are you saying halal for?
Yeah, but when he first heard it, his initial reaction, this we know for sure. The Gemara says, and his initial reaction was, oh my gosh, what are they doing? And then afterwards he says, oh, I get it. It's not real halal.
Maybe his reaction was not to the bracha, but just the fact that they're saying halal.
Okay, I understand that. But I'm just telling you, this is exactly what Tosfos argues.
Is there any other minhag that we say bracha?
That's a good question. The answer is yes.
Which
I'll tell you what. It's like a range, if you will. There's a minhag where everyone says a bracha. There's a minhag where everyone doesn't say a bracha. And then there's like a middle category. Okay? Where's the case where there's a minhag that nobody says a bracha? So that's very easy. That the Gemara says it. You don't need me. Fourth parak of Sukkah. That is when we take the aravos on Hoshana Rabbah. And we smack them on the ground. And that's a minhag. The Gemara says that's a minhag. And the Gemara says because it's a minhag, so therefore we don't make a bracha. So that's an example of a minhag where we don't make a bracha. Where's an example? Oh, this is such a good one. Give me an example of a minhag where everybody makes a bracha. This is really good. First, I guess you could talk about Yom Tov Sheni. I'm not sure. Now the Gemara, yeah, I know the Gemara calls it a minhag, minhag of Asena B'yadenu, even though we know which day is Rosh Chodesh. I don't know if that's really a minhag. Can I give you one that it's a minhag and everyone makes a bracha on? Huh? My answer to you is going to be yes, but not the Chanukah you think. Not the lighting of the menorah in our homes, which is a mitzvah derabanan. But the lighting the menorah in the shul. Lighting menorah in shul is a minhag. That's not the mitzvah. And every Jew makes bracha. Sephardim, Ashkenazim, we all make bracha when we light in the shul, and that's a minhag. So, I know universally there's minhagim where we don't make a bracha. Universally there's a minhag where we do make a bracha. And here, we're split between me and you. And, you know, I we're representative, of course. I don't know if the Ashkenazim would want me as a representative.
But people who make no bracha all for halal?
Sephardim.
Sephardim, we don't make
Sephardim.
No bracha.
No bracha.
Not even a chazan.
When Sephardim make a bracha on halal, the bracha is believed more at halal. It's not
right.
Like halal. So it'll be more. It's going to be full halal. It's going to make more.
Right. Their nusach habracha is different than our nusach, which plays into the fact that they don't make a bracha. Now, I know Chabad, the chazan makes a bracha and everyone else listens. Right, so it's like somewhat, but there's no Sfarim don't make a bracha. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a chov. Really, the onus is on us the Ashkenazim, meaning Rabbeinu Tam's position that we do make a bracha. It's a more radical position to take. I mean, we take it. I mean, the Ashkenazim make a bracha. All right, we could go on over here. Let's go back to the Gemara. There's more to discuss. Let's.
Sephardim isn't just a minhag, but Sephardim is very much about not making any bracha.
In general, that's a very good statement. Meaning Sephardim in general avoid making brachas unless it's. Yeah, it's I like that. Okay, back to the Gemara. Yom Tov Shalatzeres Umayshna Bechag. We're last two lines of Yud Amud Aleph. The Gemara now has a very, very straightforward question. Meaning, we have our 18 days locked, in which we say halal. And in Chutz Aretz, it's 21 days. Question is so straightforward. Ma'ishna b'chag d'amrina kol yuma, u'ma'ishna b'pesach d'lo amrinan kol yuma. Okay? On Pesach, why don't we say halal every day? On Sukkot, we do say halal every day. And again, please understand, the halal we say on the remaining days of Pesach, not to be considered. Meaning, we'll do it, but that's not an obligatory halal. We're talking now about obligatory halals, what we'll call full halal. So the Gemara's answer is like this: Kol yom dechag chalukim bekarbonoseihem, the Pesach ein chalukim bekarbonoseihem. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, because on Sukkot every day it's a new carbon experience. On the first day of Sukkot, how many parim are brought? 13. What about the next day of Sukkot? 12. What about the next day? 11. Now, I understand all I did was just take away one carbon, but okay, I'll be dramatic in the way I present it. It's a new carbon experience. It's not 13 parim, it's 12. It's not 12, it's 11. So every day is a new carbon experience. On Pesach, it's the same set of carbonos every day of Pesach. So in other words, days 2 through 7 of Pesach is really just a repeat of day 1. Not to minimize, but in terms of halal, it's not. There's no halal because it's not a new carbon experience. So the Gemara's question then is Shabbos Chalukah b'Karbonoseha Lema. Okay, so if that's the criteria for saying halal, So then we should be saying halal every Shabbos. Because... Or just every Shabbos. Meaning if it's all about a new carbon experience, so 6 days a week we bring one carbon, and then Shabbos comes along and we bring a carbon musaf. Okay, halal. So the Gemara says, lo ikre moe. No, because part two is that it has to be a new carbon experience, plus the Torah has to refer to it as moe. Rosh Chodesh ikre moe lema. So the Gemara says, okay, so what about Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh, new carbon experience, and the Torah refers to it as a moed. Now, the idea that the Torah refers to it as a moed, you're not going to find that in Chumash. Where does the Torah refer to as Rosh Chodesh as a moed? So for that, you need Eicha, right? Look at the second Rashi on the page. Dechsiv kara alai moed. And then Rashi quotes the Gemara in Tanis, Tamuz da'ushasa meluam al yur, dechsiv kara alai moed. Okay, so it's not straightforward, but still, Rosh Chodesh was referred to as moed. Then that's exactly the Gemara's question. The Gemara wants to know why not. Meaning it's a new carbon experience and it's Moed. So the Gemara says, Lo tishbas yis malacha dichsiv hashir yelechem kalil. He's kadesh chag laila mekudosh lechag taon shira. V'shem mekudosh lechag ain taon shira. So the Gemara's answer is because you need an ister malacha. So in other words, now it is turned into three criteria in terms of when you have to say halal. Criteria number one, new carbon experience. Criteria number two, it has to be moed. It has to be labeled as moed. And criteria number three has to be asr b'malacha. So Rosh Chodesh, there's no asr malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah...
Wait. New carbon experience. What about on Pesach? On Pesach, it's
from the Rabbanah. Day one of Pesach fits the criteria.
Right.
And then, but after that, it's no new carbon experience.
Okay.
Shavuos is just one day.
We don't even say it in the Rabbanah.
No, we say it. No, Shavuos requires halal.
No, on the days that we brought all the other
korbanos,
like on Pesach, but never mind.
No, okay, all right. Now, what about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Deikre Moed, Veikjish Basias Malacha, Leima. So the Gemara's question now. Okay, so good. So that should mean that we should be saying halal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we don't say halal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and why not? So the Gemara's answer, Mishum de Rabbi Abba, Damer Rabbi Abba, Amar Malach Hashar, Sufnei Karash Baruch, Ribbono Shel Olam, Mibnei Ma Ein Yisrael, Omrim Shir Lefanech, Berosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim, Amar Lahem, response, Efshar Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Hadin, V'Sifrei Chaim, V'Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanav, V'Yisrael Omrim Shira, rhetorical question, Shira Lefanai, okay, inappropriate time to be saying halal on a day which we're being judged. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, just not the right time to be saying halal. The Hachanaka delo hachi velo hachi vikamer mishum. Delo hachi velo hachi vikamer. So the Gemara says Hanukkah, it's nothing. It's not a day where there's a new carbon experience. Hanukkah is not a moed min haTorah. Hanukkah is not called moed. Hanukkah, there's no issa malacha. Meaning Hanukkah is 0-3, right? On our set of criteria, on the prerequisites to be saying halal, Hanukkah is 0-3. And meanwhile, we say halal shalom on Hanukkah. So the Gemara says mishum nisa. The Gemara says Hanukkah is a nes. Meaning there are essentially two tracks for halal. Okay, track number one is that you have to be new carbon experience plus moed plus issa malacha. That's track number one. And that's why we'll say halal on Sukkot. And that's why we'll say halal on day one of Pesach. And that's why we'll say halal on Shavuos. And in theory, we should be saying halal on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but pasnish. It's not appropriate. Okay. Really, once you know those two Yiddish words, by the way, you really understand so much Gemara. It's just not appropriate. Okay, next. There's a new track in terms of why I'm going to say halal, and that's nes. If a miracle happens to the Jewish people, so then that makes it appropriate to be saying halal, and that explains Hanukkah. So the Gemara goes now, classic discussion of the Gemara, Purim di'ika nisa lema. So what about Purim? What about the fact that there's a nes on Purim? Interesting. You know what you could have argued before the Gemara starts its discussion? The Gemara could have said, well, there's different type of nisim. Meaning Hanukkah, nes nigla, Purim, nes nister, right? It's a hidden miracle versus an open miracle. It's so interesting. Can I tell you, the Gemara does not do that. The Gemara does not make a distinction in terms of the type of nes.
Because we know it's a nes.
I mean, yes. It's a, huh? Maybe. Possibly. I mean, I'm not, you know, I guess it depends. Depends on what kind of experience happens. Amar Rebbe Yitzchak. Huh? We'll get to the Gemara's answers in just a moment. I'm just telling you that, in other words, the quality of Nais is not part of the discussion. Not part of the discussion. The Gemara goes through its classic three answers. Amar Rebbe Yitzchak Lefishein Omrim Shir Al Anesha B'chutz Aris. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's a miracle outside of Israel. They don't count. Miracles outside of Israel don't count. So Maskev L'Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. The Gemara says, what? That can't be. V'harei Yitzchias Mitzrayim D'Nesha B'chutz Aretz U'V'Armin and Halal K'Detanya Ashelo Nechnes Yisrael. I'm sorry. This is already part of the answer. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we're saying Halal on Pesach over a miracle that takes place outside of Israel, meaning leaving Egypt. So the Gemara's answer is like this. So the Gemara's answer is, look, before we go into Eretz Yisrael, every land became eligible for Nes and Hallel responding to the Nes. But once we enter into Eretz Yisrael, so then it's only a Nes that takes place in Eretz Yisrael. Answer number two. Rav Nachman Amar, Kriyasa, Zu Halila, that the reading of the Megillah, that's our halal. Meaning, according to Rav Nachman, we do say halal on Purim. You're just a little confused. It's not in the classic Hallelujah Avdei Hashem. It's not in the paragraphs of Tehillim, but halal comes in the form of reading the Megillah. Kriyasa Zu Halila. And finally, answer number three. Rav Amar Bishlam Asam Halal Avdei Hashem Halal Avdei Paru Hacha Halal Avdei Hashem. So the Gemara gives a third answer, which is, it has to be the kind of miracle where we're like free. Meaning by Mitzrayim, we're free. We're no longer Avdei Paro. Even by the story of Purim, right, as great as it is and as miraculous as it was, when the story was over, there's still Achashverosh. Right? Meaning it's a, right?
After Hanukkah, we're under the subject.
The Gemara assumes, no. I mean, I understand historically, it wasn't. It's not exactly the same, but Gemara assumes no. Well, the Rav Nachman Damer Kriyasa Zu Alila that Hatanya Mishenichus Arts Lahuchshu Kol Aratzos Lamar Shira Kevin Shegalu Chazor LaAtem Rishon. And as far as Rav Nachman, what about that Brisa that we quoted that after we go into Israel, it's got to be only a miracle in Israel? So his response is, yeah, that's why we're in Israel. Once we were exiled, which we were for Purim, so now all lands became eligible again in order to have a miracle and a response of Hallel to the miracle. Once we were exiled, so then all lands become eligible again.
We were exiled for the Persian.
Correct. That's exactly the Gemara's point. Meaning, so once we were exiled to Persia, once we were exiled, then we had the miracle Purim, so we're back again. And so, no, and that's why then he'll go back to the Kriyasa Zu Halala. We do say Halal. It comes in the form of the reading of the Megillah. Great discussion. Huh?
It comes out according to him that there was a miracle that occurred in some other land and there was no Megillah
type thing. You should say Halal, right? Let me ask you.
You say Halal
and then Halal. I'll give you a good question, by the way. I was just discussing this with one of my friends yesterday. What if it's Purim? And you find yourself without a Megillah.
Then you
read say Halal. Do you say Halal? He discusses it, right?
Yeah.
Who does he quote? He quotes the Meiri?
Meiri.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
But it's without a bracha.
Anyway, so according to Rav Nachman that says that we do say Halal on Purim, it just comes in the form of Megillah, so does it go the opposite way? Meaning if you don't have a Megillah on Purim, do you now say, well, I mean, Megillah replaces Hallel. Can Hallel replace Megillah? Okay, so discussion, right?
Right, no. Well, Hallel cannot replace it. You don't have a Megillah.
I understand. In lieu of a Megillah. Right. All right.
You don't even have a Megillah
Right. So anyway, so look around. Interesting discussion in the. The discussion starts with the Rishonim. What for? Yeah. In other words, correct. Our discussion in our Gemara, you understand, the Chatzi Halal that we say on Rosh Chodesh, it's not. Meaning, it's a minhag. We're not having. Whenever we're reading the Gemara and having a discussion about Halal, which is what we're doing right now, and this is, by the way, the primary location in all of Shas that talks about Halal. It's only talking about full halal. The Chatzi halal that we say in Rosh Chodesh, it's a minhag. I assume it falls like the Rambam. I assume so. I don't have in my head a good picture of what the Shulchan Aruch says, but I assume so. Okay, let's go on. We got a lot more to do. Aloha Yumake. There's obviously much more discussion over here, much more discussion, but you know we got to move. Aloha Yumake ba'avav shonachoshes pasach bechalav mesayim ba'avav. Now the Mishnah confuses us because when the Mishnah is describing the instruments used in the Beis Hamikdash, so talking about the flute, the Mishnah calls it the chalav, the Mishnah calls it the avav. Like which one is it? Amar Rav Papa, Hainu Chalul, Hainu Avav, it's the same thing. V'amai Karele Chalul, Dechale Kale, it's very sweet, it's very matok. The flute produces a nice, sweet, pure sound. Tanu Rabbanan Avav Hayam B'Mikdash Chalak Haya, Dak Haya, Shalkhane Haya. The Gemara goes into a Tosefta, and the Tosefta describes the flute. It was very thin. It was made out of reed. Umi Yamos Moshe Haya. The flute goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu produced the flute. Tziva HaMelech V'tzipuhu Zahav. Now, you know, we have this bug in us. I don't know how to describe it. We like to improve on things. You know, right? It can't, right? Oh, come on. That's the flute that Moshe made. Let's build on it. I understand we're hardwired this way. We really are. It's human nature. And so what they did is they took the flute and they plated it with gold. Oh, now it's good.
They played a reed with gold?
Yeah. I mean, that's what the Gemara is describing. V'lo haya kolo arev. And it wasn't producing a good sound. Not luas tzipuya v'haya kolo arev kamosha haya. They removed the plating and it was back as good as ever. Tziltzul haya b'mikdash. There were symbols in the mikdash. Shonachoshes haya was made of copper v'haya kolo arev and it produced a sweet sound. Now, I don't normally describe the symbols as a sweet sound, but again, I'm not musically informed. Right, I understand, right. So anything I describe over here musically, you can just ignore because my music knowledge is very limited. So v'nifkam, now it got some sort of nick in it. V'shachu chachamim ve'evum u'minim alakzanjah shal Mitzrayim. So they imported musicians from Egypt, not musicians, but people who knew music well, and they tried to fix the symbols. V'knu v'aloya kolo arev. Now, they fixed it, but it wasn't producing the same nice and polished sound. Not lu'is tikuno v'aya kolo arev k'mo shehaya. And whatever the Egyptians did, they undid it, and it produced that nice, good old sound.
They had a cracker, they fixed a cracker, and then they undid the fixing of the cracker.
You're with it. You understand as much as I do.
We moved
to that. Right. Now it was back.
Back. He talks to the guys who worked at the Liberty.
Yeah. Machteshes haya b'mikdash. There was something that ground the spices. Now, the thing that ground the spices also produced a sound. In fact, right, for those of you who say you're pitim haktorit every day, I know there are people out here who do that. So it's right, shakolo, the right, producing sound is good. In fact, we'll get to creases, by the way. We're going to go through the Gemara's inside. And it was really good at grinding the besamim. Nis pigma, and again, same story. Something happened to it. It broke. And they brought the experts from Egypt to fix it. But it wasn't grinding as good after the Egyptians got a hold of it. Kemosha haisa, not lu tiknua, tikuna, v'haisa mefatena kemosha haisa. They undid whatever the Egyptians did, and back as good as ever. Elu shnei, elu, huh? No. Right, right.
It seems strange they would allow Egyptians into the...
They knew. They were experts. They were the world experts on the matter. That's very good. A service contract. Elu shnei kelim. Now, these last two that we just described, our grinder and our cymbals. Nishtar mi mikdash rishon. In other words, even during... They were left over from the first temple. Vinis pagmo v'lo yalem arukam. And once they got dented, so they couldn't get them back to what they once were. V'aleim amar David nechoshet mimorat. David, when describing these utensils, the grinder and the cymbal, David described them as thin copper. Nechoshet marok, bright copper. V'aleim omer ukli nechoshet mutzav shnaim chamudot. And it was described as gold, shnaim, two gold. What does that mean? Rav Shmuel Chana Mar Kol Echav Eka Shachol Kishnaim Shal Zahav. Each one of them weighed two measurements of gold, whatever their measurement was. V'Chana Mar Shnaim Shkulim Ke'echad. The two of them together equaled one Shal Zahav. Tini Rav Yosef Shnaim Shkulim Ke'echad Shal Zahav. Rav Yosef agrees with the latter position that the two were equal to one weight of gold. Tanya Rabbi Nassan Omer Shnaim Hayu Shneimar Shnaim Al Tikr Shnaim Ella Shneim. Anytime they made a kli, they made two of them, and the second one obviously would be used in the event that something happened to the first one. Tani Rishimun Gamla Omer Shiluchayam Mekalech Mayim Bichi Isar. They had a stream running right next to the Beis Hamikdash. It was the Meha Shiluach. It should sound familiar to you. Because when Sukkot came around and they got water for the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim, so where did they go? The Mishnah in Sukkot tells us. They went to the Mei HaShiluach. And it was a really, really small stream of water. It was a stream that ran the diameter of an Isser coin. Tiny stream. Tziva HaMelech V'Hirchivu. Along comes the king. Much like we did before, we didn't identify which king it was. We don't know. I don't know. So Tziva HaMelech V'Hirchivu, the king said, you know what, let's widen it. Meaning, it's a good water source, and we need it. So let's widen the water source. Kedei Sheyizrabu Meimav. And if we widen the water source, more water will come out. V'Nisma'atu. Like all good plants. Right? They tried to widen it, and less water was coming out. V'Chazru Umi'atuhu. So they said, obviously, this doesn't work. Let's make it narrow again. V'Hayem Mekalech Mayim L'Kayim Ma'ashenemar. Don't think you're so smart, says the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and that's a good indication. They didn't have this kind of bell. It ruined the ni'ima, it ruined the sound that was produced, this type of bell. Just a little bit more for today. Amar Rava Bar Shila, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel Magrefa. He said, "B'mikdash there was a magrefa." Now we describe a magrefa usually as some sort of shovel, right, or a rake. Okay, here not so much. It was some sort of instrument that looked like a shape of a rake or a shovel. Asar nekavim hayuba kol echav echad motzi asar mine zemar. There were 10 holes. Each hole produced 10 different sounds. 10 holes, 10 different sounds. Nim says, "Kula motzi mea mine zemar." 100 different sounds were produced from this type of rake instrument. In other words, there was a handle that came out of it. 100 different sounds were produced. So each hole produced 100 sounds. There were 10 holes in total. 1,000 sounds produced from this instrument. Masnisa Guzma. The Brisas sometimes exaggerate. And so just to help you remember, who said 100 versus who said 1,000? So the Brisa was the one that said 1,000. So the memory aid over here is that sometimes the Brisas exaggerate. Okay. Maybe. Maybe.
As a musical instrument,
you're saying? Yeah. Yeah, somehow. Okay, tomorrow, for those of you who like music, tomorrow the mitzvah of singing, The mitzvah of singing while bringing karbanos, ikr shir bepeh, ikr shir bekli. Classic discussion coming up tomorrow. Stay tuned for tomorrow's daf.